Welcome everybody to episode two of The Deep, this podcast that James McMillan and I have started with our last episode. Episode one was on Jesus and our stories of how we experienced Jesus in our early years and a little bit for now too. And in this episode, we're stepping more into how Jesus saved us, I guess. Like, that's the simplest way I can put it. How we knew, like, that moment that we knew, oh, this is like truly real. This is actually happening. This is like a lived experience. So, yeah, I'm really excited by this one. You're going to find out more about James and I and our experiences with Jesus. And yeah, James, like, I can feel already the emotion coming up within me about what we're about to talk about. So I'm wondering, like, what does this all mean to you, or do you want to kick us off?
It's pretty. I've got things coming up for me as well. And first, I just want to say good morning to everybody because it's 6 a.m. for us. And abundant blessings to everybody. And that last podcast was great, and it was really fun to share all those early stories and experiences. And during the last couple of weeks, I've had a chance to reflect on that, and people have sent me different messages about it and things like that. And it's cool to be able to share the whole story. I'm so glad we're going to do three parts and share the early experiences, and then I guess what you said, the thing that really changed the way I see Jesus and the whole spiritual world, really. Because I know people have different beliefs in different things and stuff like that. And ours that we're sharing is about Jesus. I remember the time. There's been little things along the way, I guess, but then there was a big thing where it was like, boom, hey, I'm here. And I was like, you really are here. That was totally different to like all my earlier experiences in life. So yeah, I'm really, really keen to share that with people, and to hear yours as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, just as you started speaking, you would have seen that my eyes kind of, get taken off, and I was really finding out, like, what is it that we're going to talk about today? How are we going to open this up? Of course, just like last episode, if you missed the last episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to it, as it's a precursor to this one, and all of our information again is down below. And it's funny because I had, well, it's not funny, but I had like Jesus kind of showing me then like the different ways in which he's been depicted, the ways that he's been experienced. And it is an energy for me. I know for James as well, it's an energy. It's an energy of love. And I was kind of asking him, like, how do I explain that? So this is even like a real life example. How do I explain that? And he said it's the difference between going out in nature and experiencing nature in its purest form, or then going to like a man-made garden, a man-made forest, a man-made, he said it's the same experience, but there's perimeters. There's been a decision made where this must be planted here and here and here and here. So the experience is being curated for you rather than just experienced naturally. And he's saying that's the difference between like organized religion. This is a very gentle way of saying it too, because I've heard him describe it other ways. So, but he's saying that's a gentle way of describing religion versus the experience of the energy. It's both the same energy, it's just different ways of experiencing it. One's being curated for you, one is the natural experience. And there's n no way is better or different. They're just different. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
I don't know if there's any surfers listening. Hopefully there is. Some things that people, commented with me last time. But you really reminded me of just recently I went down to Melbourne to the wave pool. It's called Urban Surf.
Yes.
That's definitely a curated experience, and it's a pool, and they make waves with a machine, and you're in a city surrounded by buildings. And some of the interesting conversations I had in the water were that, like, one guy was there, he just caught a wave and he paddled back out. And I said, "Oh, how was your wave, man?" And he said, "Yeah, really cool. I really like the setting they've got it on today, you know?" So that they. I was just like, "Oh, whoa!" He knows the settings and everything, and I said, "What do you compare with this man-made wave to, like, the beach, which was at Bell's Beach, which is his closest beach?" And he said, "Oh, I don't go to the beach anymore." And I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, no, I just come here before work, and and then go to work." He works in an office, and I thought, "Wow, that's so convenient for him." But as the sun started rising and we kept surfing. And I saw one bird. There was one seagull actually flew past the lineup while we're there. And I was like, "Whoa, a bird." And so that's a man-made experience. And I didn't really experience God during that surf session. But when I go surfing here, just at my local beach, I do experience that, especially in the morning when the sun rises and there's birds around and you don't know what the waves are going to be like. And it's unpredictable and it's wild. The clouds are different every day, and you really feel that impact of, like, nature and God and the full force of, like, that whole other realm, whereas compared to the wave pool, it's just about the waves and just, like, getting the best waves and just ripping them as much as you could.
I've got my session 10 to 11 and then I'm out.
Yeah, it was just like that. So that when you were talking there, it reminded me of that, like, one's a man-made one where there's probably not as much soul in it potentially, and the other one's like, boom, it's everything you're open to, you receive,
Yeah, I will have to use that though, like when I'm out in the ocean and say, oh God, I really love the setting you've got the ocean on today.
Love the clouds you've painted.
For those that are in Cronulla, well, this is going to come out a few days, but Sunday, let's thank God for Sunday's setting. Absolutely. Yeah, so I think, yeah,
Sleeping.
that is the wild of the ocean, but that is when you're experiencing consciousness. That's when you're experiencing flow state. How much more I'm trying to think of how to experience flow state or something, and we're getting off topic here, but how to experience flow state like in the wave pool. It's an experience, but it's not that connection to consciousness when you can hear machines. What
Yeah,
I think.
takes for sure when you because you do hear the machine, don't you? You hear, like, boom, and then the waves start coming,
Yeah. And I think it's like, I'm sure others are as well. I'm very sensitive to sound. And if I'm in the water and I hear a drone, I get. If I'm in the water and I hear a foil, the old ones that were petrol, I'm like,
Yeah.
it's kind of like, I don't want to hear someone's wristwatch dinging, ding, like you've got a message, or someone took a call out in the south. This is not flow state for me. But I'm being brought back to topic here, so we're going to go off into a consciousness
No,
rant.
I was just gonna ask something though, which is back, which is on topic for sure. Do you, like, if you want to get, in the zone or connect with Jesus, do you find you have to get yourself into a particular place and, a particular moment where it's quiet in nature or in your home with no distractions to, like, really tap into that consciousness, or can you flip in and out of it at any moment in the cafe, having a coffee with a girlfriend? Can you, like, duck in and duck out, or
Yeah.
what is
Oh,
powerful?
yeah. Well, I don't ever think I'm out of it. And I feel like anyone that's on a spiritual path, the minute you say, oh, I have to connect, means that in some part of your mind, you don't feel like you're connected, right? So it's like, I'm always connected. I know that I'm always connected. But if there's loud external noises, it's more difficult for me to hear or experience. So that's why I get frustrated. Imagine if like you're at a party and you're trying to hear your child and you can't. That would be a level of frustration, or like you're like wanting to take them to a quiet space to hear them. So for me, like, and as you were saying that, James, it was like a day last week. I was here at home and there was like construction noise started next door. And so I thought, all right, I jumped in the van and drove up to Green Hills and thought, I'll just get work done up there. I'll sit in the van and I can sit up there and do it. And I went up to Green Hills, which is normally so peaceful and quiet in the middle of the day. And they were doing helicopter training. And I was like, okay. And so I drove down into South Cronulla, the same construction everywhere. I ended up going all the way down to Shoes or Oak Park, parked the van. Thought, okay, it doesn't matter about work. I went down into the rock pool and I literally laid out, like floated, and it started raining. And I was laying in the rock pool by myself, floating for about 10 minutes, and I had complete silence. So I know that anytime that I'm needing silence or wanting stillness, that's underwater for me. So if I'm at home, it could be like in the bath, like I'll just like float, like put my head under the water. And if I've had a really busy day, it's the ocean and it's floating in the ocean. And the minute I did that, it was just like Jesus came in, energies came in, everyone started talking. And I literally felt all of my nervous system relax. So in our world, like sometimes everybody's day is just surrounded by noise, people, construction, machine. And so to find that place of stillness where I can converse or hear what is being said to me, and sometimes it's just them sitting or their presence sitting with me, you know. And in that moment, I just felt held by the ocean, by consciousness, by God, by Jesus. And I stayed there for ages, with my eyes closed, just floating around in the pool. Ended up bumping against the end of the
Pretty funny, actually.
pool. And then and I got out, and one of the young surfers was getting out at the same time. There's only about three guys out because it wasn't that great. And we were at the shower together, and he's like, "That looks so cool what you're doing." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "You had the whole pool to yourself." He's like, "I watched you for ages and you were just floating around." And I said, "I wasn't doing anything." And it just like clicked something in just the way I said it or what I said. And so I think that's the key to connection with Jesus or anything, is like we feel we have to do something. Just have to be open, be still, be quiet. What about for you?
What did I ask you? To connect. Oh, look, I can. Sorry, I forgot what I asked you. I was too involved in the story and feeling. I can connect pretty quick, and and I think if I'm in a less noisy area and a less people and stuff like that, I can like get going deeper quicker. And sometimes if I'm in a conversation with somebody or a place that is busy, I can just say, oh, wait just one sec, and I'll just like tell them, if it's someone I know. If I don't know them, I'll just disappear for a minute. If I feel like I want to like tap into something, I can just close my eyes, do a couple of deep sort of Kriya breaths, and feel it come in, feel Jesus' presence pretty quickly sort of come in, and then I can sort of ask, questions or start a little conversation, something I'm seeking or wanting for somebody else. And then, yeah, I can get in there pretty quick now. But that's been developed over a long time. And I guess my belief systems have changed as well, from like being a kid in school and thinking I have to go into the church to connect with God and Jesus, like in the building, or through the priest during confession.
Yeah, we have to pray.
Now it's just like a mate. It's just like, oh, of the highest order. But yeah, I can tap in at different levels. And I think when I lived up on a mountain behind Mullumbimby for a couple of years, and I was by myself, and that was definitely my like initiation into like a different realm for sure, because I was there for days and days on my own painting in the forest with nobody else around at all for days and days at a time every week for 2 years. And then, yeah, that was a solid initiation into a different way of experiencing, like, Jesus and Christ consciousness for sure.
Definitely. I agree with you. Like, if I'm with someone, I can just have heat. So it's kind of like, imagine you're like in a busy office and you'll just be handed like information. So I now it's like kind of rapid fire that I can be in conversation and it just kind of comes through quick, quick, quick. But I love what you said about the breath, because last week literally I wrote the distance between us and Creator or Jesus or any kind of energy is three breaths. Like, the distance between you and Creator is three breaths. So the distance that you visualize or feel that is between you and this is true and correct. So it's like, if there are parameters put around your connection, like, oh, you must follow this procedure, you must be here within this building, you must be on your knees, you must be. No, I feel like no matter where you are, and sometimes if I'm talking or if I've got clients that are like busy business owners, executives, things like that, sometimes the only peace they get is like in the bathroom. In their day, and I'm like, okay, to connect during that time, you have a meeting, go into the bathroom, three breaths, find your message, come to your stillness, come to your point of peace, and then go. And it's like, that's it. It's what you believe is reality, what you believe you perceive, what you believe you receive, you know? So, yeah, create zero distance between yourself and Jesus, or yourself and consciousness, or yourself and God, and there is zero distance.
Yeah, that's really powerful, I think. I love what you said about that, what you perceive you receive or believe you receive. Sounds a bit like a poem, but like it was around those three words, and I really believe that, you know, and especially if you have little experiences along the way of, you know, of like, oh, he's right there or God's right there, and then you experience it, then you start believing even more, and it snowballs over time to where. What,
Do you know where that started from?
the snowball, the top of the mountain?
The what you believe you receive. That started from me telling my kids like that in regards to Santa and the Easter Bunny.
Okay.
Always it's like, if you believe you receive, that's
All
it.
right.
As they got older, and I didn't want to leave that stage behind. It was more me, not them. I was like, well, if you believe in Santa, you receive.
Don't know how to, that's pretty cool though.
But now it pertains to Jesus and consciousness as well. It always has. I think it's in regards to everything.
Yeah, it's true. I'd love to, if it's okay, I'd love to hear like one of your experiences with Jesus, like a real life experience, because I'm sure you've had a few, even in the conversations I've had with you, you have brought it up the first time I met you, actually. Not the experience, but you brought it up, Jesus, you know. And so I'd love to hear, you know, one of your experiences.
Okay. All right. Yeah, for sure. I think they keep showing me the same experience. So, when I'm talking, sometimes when I say they keep showing me, they'll show me like it's like a memory comes in, but it's not like a memory that, oh, you're thinking about something and a memory comes in. A memory is like delivered to me, and this one, and then it's like it kind of gets repeated until I start speaking of it. So this is the one that they want me to show first, or tell, or show first, or tell first. When I first began energy healing, Jesus, God, consciousness can come to you through many different people in many different ways. And so, when I first experienced his actual energy, his actual form was right at the beginning of me practicing energy healing in my house with clients. I don't think I had like six paying clients before this happened. And how I even came to energy healing was, and they're showing me that, Jesus or that energy was working through her too, even though she was this tiny little Indian woman, even though she was practicing hypnotherapy on me, which is now something that I do, and I definitely use the practices and techniques that she showed me too, but coming through her in a different way to how I perceived it to when Jesus was sitting in physical form at the end of my treatment bed. So I have this client laid out. She has a blanket on her. We're in the sunroom of my old apartment, and for all my old Cronulla friends and clients, they're very familiar with this room. And my little apartment was like this big tree house. It was just wall to ceiling plants. And so my little sunroom had this treatment bed that was made out of wood that I'd had given to me that I didn't even need to buy, because the women, when I went to pick it up and pay for it, they were like, "No, this is going to the right home. You don't have to give us any money." And I was like, "No, I've got cash here for you." And they're like, "This table has been energy healing for more than 20 years. It's now going to be continued with you." And it is a fantastic table. It's amazing. And so I had my client on this bed. I had my grandmother's blanket on her. Like, I just love things that have energy, mana, prana within it. And so I'm working on this client, still very new to energy healing, still very new to Reiki, still very new to like how it all works, and very much following protocols and procedures. And I had my eyes closed and working on this client, and I had this like shimmer of light come at the end of the bed. And it's like a massage table, it's not like a huge bed, it's like a massage table. And I was kind of like, I opened my eyes and closed my eyes again. Again, the shimmer of light was there. It was like just this like glow like this. And then the more I focused on it would fade. And then, if I came back to like what I was doing with the client, it would come into form. And so, I kind of like in a very, and this is all happening like in split second timing, like over a few seconds. Like, I'm realizing that if I focus on it, it goes. If it's peripheral, it comes to form. Does that make sense? Like, soft eggs would bring it into sharper focus. And so, I was kind of just like, working on my client like this with kind of like my eyes closed, but that like if you were doing like side eye or something. And as I was working on this client, and I'm talking, and I was talking about what I was experiencing in regards to energy. I'm starting to get really hot now, which is a big sign for me too. And then I just see these two hands like placed on my client's feet through the blanket. And it's like this, as soon as I saw the hands, they were clear. Like, my eyes were closed, the hands were clear. And as soon as I focused on the hands, it's like the whole rest just like lit up. I don't even know if I'm describing it as much as what I am. They're saying, "Relax, you are." Okay. And so I just have I'm kind of stop talking, stop doing anything, and I'm looking, and the softest face is looking at me. Instantly, I have no fear. Instantly, I have like zero fear. I'm just like held. Like, I didn't want to move, I didn't want to breathe, I didn't want to disturb what was going on here. I felt like any movement, any breath from me would collapse what I was experiencing. And so I didn't even know how long I didn't breathe for. Like, I don't know. And I was kind of just like Oh, and a softest smile, softest eye, softest gaze. All I felt was love. I got a simple nod as if to say, continue. And I was like, oh, and I'm kind of doing that, like, I knew who it was. Like, I knew, like, there's no question. Like when you're in that presence, there's no question. There's no question. You're like, oh my God, this is actually happening. I'm getting like super sweaty now. And I kept doing the session, and I felt the energy. I could see the form anytime I looked, and it would still be the same thing, just a smile, the softest eyes, and a little nod to say continue. And so I finished the session. I always had a cup of tea with my clients afterwards. Like we'd sit in the little chairs that were I had there, and we'd sit and have a cup of tea and talk about what happened. And I just like I couldn't talk. I didn't want to. I couldn't verbalize what had happened. I still felt the presence of the energy behind me. I kind of like hurried them out the door. I know exactly who it was, but I don't want to say because, they wouldn't have noticed any different. I was just, and look how fidgety I get. Okay.
Hurried out the door. That's funny because you wanted to connect or what was still there.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, the thing what I know now about energy is the one time you've had this experience, it is yours forever. One time you experience a particular energy, it's yours forever. There's no like, oh, that was a one-time thing. No. If you've told yourself it was a one-time thing, it was. Like, you've had access to that energy. So then after they left, I just was like, okay, like I knew meditation was the thing. So I went into my bedroom and sat on my bed and it was like as soon as I closed my eyes, as soon as I closed my eyes, he was like sitting on the edge of my bed. Like I had my eyes closed. So I explained last episode, it's like a hologram, but this was like vibrant. This was like no other image I'd seen before then, right? Now that's the way that I see things, but this was like vibrant, like full holographic form, full smiling, talking to me, facial like changes in face, movements of like the body. It wasn't just like an energy, like I felt it, or like a light, a soft glowing light that came in, or waves or currents of energy. And so I just sat there with him and I was like, what's happening here? Like this, and he was just like, he just like took over. He was like, be still, child. And even this morning before the podcast, like I was still waking up because it is early morning for us. And I went outside and just put my face to the sky and it was like, be still, child. So the same thing, be still, child. And I was like, okay. And so he was, okay, so I'm just gonna ask, like, what was it that that first conversation was about? You're here, this energy is talking to me. So this is like, to me, they're saying it was about your healing capabilities. And that conversation, there was a lot of disbelief within you. So Jesus is saying like, what he had to work with me first was my belief and trust,
Yeah.
right? In myself, in my capabilities, but just belief and trust in him. He assisted with like almost every healing I ever did, teaching me this. Like, I would just be shown movements, hand movements to do. I would be shown where to place my hands. It was like, I studied Reiki, I studied two forms of Reiki, and I have to say that after he came in, I really didn't focus so much on what was taught in the Reiki. I understood it to be the channel was open. So it was like Reiki gave me keys for doors to open, if that makes sense. But then I started working with light. He started introducing other beings. He introduced Mother Mary to me. He introduced Mary Magdalene. And then I went through this whole teaching of alchemy of energy and transformation of energy and how I can convert it. So he's kind of very much on the healing side of things. He assists me, or I don't like to say that. He works through me.
Yeah.
But that first conversation was all about. He said he like literally because I'm asking permission right now. Can I say exactly what he said? And he's like, yes. So his exact words, and I don't want to mess this up because this is like the delivery of this was just so profound. He said he wishes he could take a stick to those who wrote the book
Interesting.
for their hearts were not pure, their intentions were not pure, their love was not pure. Their love of power was what drove them to write what they wrote. He's like, just stop that. Because I'm like, can I keep going? And they're like, so this is all in the first conversation I have with him.
Wow.
And I'm seeing now that that conversation had to be like that for me as the individual because I had thrown Jesus out, like the baby out with the bathwater,
Yeah.
regards to religion.
Yeah,
So
right.
he needed a directness that I would respond to for me personally, that I would respond to and be like, okay, this is legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's just like more of what we, the energy healing I still do and love. Now what do we do more of is more messaging. So he helps me with a lot of the messages that I receive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Messages to pass on to other people and stuff like that, you mean? Or just like
Yeah, it's always
your work?
like that between the distance between you and creator is three breaths is him.
Yeah.
So it's like short, sharp things. Like I could go through my notebook and pull out half a dozen of them. He said, just open a page, one thing. All right.
I
So
like
this is
this.
just completely random. Oh, Jesus. All right. Okay. He says compassion. Compassion is the highest form of empathy. Give yourself permission to receive compassion.
Powerful.
Permission to shut down. Regroup and cleanse. Rest is a form of self-compassion. And you don't need to keep it together all the time. So that was like for one of my students. But that compassion is the highest form of empathy. And then when I said to her, like, give yourself permission to receive compassion. We're very free and like and so the expansion comes when I kind of think of that statement. We're very free in giving compassion to others. We can deeply feel for other situations, for things that happen around us, things that happen in the world. And it's very rare that we allow ourselves to feel that same level of compassion from us.
From yourself, you know, from others.
Now, from
Wow.
ourselves, like we don't show ourselves enough compassion.
That's a good one. That's a really good, powerful one. That'd be a good conversation, that one. Good topic for everyone. I mean, you know, that's a really good one. I'm just feeling it now as you're saying it. I'm feeling that for me and how hard I am on myself sometimes with lots of things, with my art, my surfing, friendships, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. But I'm learning as well as I go, that's for sure. But yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, so I love that idea of rest is even a form of self-compassion. Rest with no like like, oh, you think, oh no, I could have a nap, or I could just keep pushing through, or and but rest to me can be me just sitting in the sofa and watching the light shadow on the wall, you know. I'm sitting and watching the wind in the leaves. Like, it doesn't have to be rest is like anytime your mind comes to stillness. Yeah.
And this has all come from those words that Jesus delivered to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm breaking it down and unpacking it. That's really good teaching in amongst all that. I'm gonna really sit with that later.
Not now, we're doing a podcast.
Later. Right. Thanks for sharing that. Jeez.
So James, now with that energy of compassion for self, do you want to share your Jesus story and what your experience is?
Time is it? I've got a couple. I mean, there's been a few, more than a few, but there's three that really stand out for me that really changed my life, and that's over a 20-year period as well. Like I said, there's been little ones in between, but there was one, 6 months ago that was definitely a whole game changer in my definitely in my energetic work. And then there was another one probably 2016, 2014, when I sort of got initiated into Kriya yoga, which is interesting. That'll probably set off a few things. And then the first one that really did actually change my life in a huge way was in 2002, which came really unexpected, and it changed my whole understanding of who Jesus is and what's possible in that spiritual realm, and what's God, what is God. It was at a time in my life when I had been in depression for a long time, for 14 years, and that had been since my dad passed away. My dad passed away when I was a teenager, and and I fell into depression probably over a period of 3 years after he passed away, and I was in a really dark place, and I probably even had a hit of psychosis in there as well, just to make it interesting in my daily life. I can laugh about it now, but I'll tell you what, when I was in it, it was not a laughing matter. And I don't know if I mentioned this in our last podcast, the first one on this, that I don't really know how I got through, like I said, every day, but I did. And I think it was because I was in a space, maybe naturally, where I was able to come outside and look down at myself and my life each day and kind of witness myself at the same time as being in it. Which was, now to look back at it, definitely a gift to be able to do that, sometimes to separate myself from my 3D experience, because it was really heavy, and I really understand depression so whole and so fully after being in it, when every single day you're hearing voices, and you're hearing evil voices and like dark messages constantly over and over and over. And, to get through a day is a real challenge, and you just look forward to going back to sleep. Just like, I can't wait to get home tonight to get things done and just like go back to sleep again, because sleep's my only peace. And I guess throughout that as well, I learned that my other peaceful place, the only other place where I would have peace, was actually surfing on a wave, when I was actually on the wave surfing, not paddling out, not waiting for the wave or anything, but when I was on the wave, because that was the only time when, I distinctly remember I was surfing one day at the alley at Cronulla, and I was out there with a mate of mine called Jeremy Harback, He was a really good Cronulla surfer, a goofy footer, and he used to surf the reef breaks a lot, like Voodoo and Shark Island and stuff like that. He was a charger. He was someone I really looked up to. He was a bit older than me, and yeah, he used to drag me out and surf a lot of the reef breaks when I was really young, when I was still studying carpentry and just out of school when I lived in Portland Street. But surfing, yeah, I was surfing with him one day at the alley, and I remember sitting out the back, and I've told you this story where I was sitting out the back and I was looking at the horizon. I was actually started crying. I was so depressed and so down and so over life and over feeling that way that I was actually in the surf crying, which was, I was like, man, I'm at the bottom. This is like, this must be the bottom, my favorite activity, and I'm in the water crying. And then I caught a wave. I surfed the wave, and then I surfed it good like I normally would. Then I started paddling back out, and as soon as I started paddling back out, I was back in the dark zone. And after the surf, I remember sitting on the rocks and reflecting back on the session and remembering that, wow, the only time when I didn't feel bad was when I was actually on the wave surfing. And then this word came to me, no mind state. Like I was not in my mind, you know, my mind, I was in another place, you know, another realm, another experience. And I think the no mind state thing kind of really stuck with me after that, and it has to this day. But I realized that, like, you know, from doing that and being in that place, that I could get out of the, you know, the emotional, chemical, or spiritual experience of the depression that I was in. But yeah, it was deep and dark for a long time, and yeah, for over a decade. And what happened to me with the experience of Jesus was that there was what's the time? I'm just thinking, I got about 15 minutes or something, just for the sake of like brevity and like 15 minutes. I'll try and get the story.
Is a construct that we make to feel make us feel safe. So don't worry about time. Go with the story.
Noah just went. Yeah, I'll go with the story. Hi, Noah.
Hello,
Fresh out of bed. This is
oh, that's the best smell.
yeah.
Oh, cuddly.
Yeah, no one knows the story. I appreciate it. But yeah, so I guess I was in the depths of depression, and I didn't want to be there anymore, that's for sure. And I'd been praying like every day, every moment I could, in the ways that I knew at that time, which was like coming out of like a church background and stuff like that. And, you know, but as well being a spiritual soul as well, you know. And so praying a lot and trying to understand what I was going through and really wanting not to be there anymore. And I went to bed one night, and I did the usual thing where I'd like, because what I would do when I'd go to bed was I'd just focus on like the desert and this one rock in the desert, just so I could just be only looking at that and try and get rid of the voices in my head. Because you really do hear voices in your head when you're going through depression. And that's why I say before about the psychosis thing, because there's a real tipping point between like, I was right on the fence of like, go that way and you go crazy and see you later into the psych ward, or stay over here and you're in reality, the reality that you've always known. So I was right on the fence. And like I said, I was staying there, you know, for whatever reason I was able to do that. And but focusing on like the desert and this one rock when I went to bed at night before I fell asleep was a really good practice of like just getting in like a one-pointed focus and then falling into the sleep zone, and you know, and then hoping I wouldn't wake up again. And so before I went to bed this night, I prayed, you know, I prayed about my state of mind and not wanting to be depressed anymore and just like wanting to be like happy again. And find joy in my life, enjoying my surfing and my family and all the things I love, you know. And because I didn't have that for a very long time. And anyway, that night I went to I prayed and I went to bed and I fell asleep and there's the sun just coming in. Light shining on me. And so I was having a dream, and in the dream I was in my old bedroom that I was in when I was a teenager, and in the dream I was sitting in my bedroom, and my friend Peter, I'll just say Pete actually, because maybe don't say his whole name, but I mentioned in the first podcast that he was. You know, he's a Christian. He has been his whole life, and ever since I've known him, and he still is now. You know, he's married his high school sweetheart, and he's still with her now. And he's just an amazing example of a husband, of a father, and as a friend as well. He's a really good friend to me. But he would talk to me about Jesus. You know, only when I asked though, because I knew he was like strongly, should I get rid of the blinds or? Talking about this and now the sun's coming on me. Wait a second.
Hi, Noah. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, and so yeah, in the dream, I'm in my bedroom and there's Pete, and which is quite significant, I thought, you know, now looking back at it. And I can hear this train coming in my dream, and it's a train coming on the tracks as it goes over the timber. And it's like, it's getting closer and closer. And the noise is, and it's getting louder and louder. And I'm thinking in the dream, I'm like, it's gonna smash into the bedroom and wreck all my surfing and band.
Well, your post is.
And anyway, I looked at Pete and I said, what do you think this is? And Pete said, he said, don't worry, Jimmy, it's only God. And I was like, oh, okay. And then bang, the train, like in my dream, the train smashed into the bedroom and kind of exploded. This is, yeah, it made this big banging noise. And instantly, I woke up. So I went from sleeping to like, I sat up and I was awake and I was like, whoa, what just happened? And my ears were ringing. My ears were like woo, like a really strong buzzing noise. And the first thing I thought was like, wow, okay, that happened in my dream, but this is happening in reality. Like my ears were buzzing in reality from the dream. So that was quite weird. Because the night before when I was praying, I'd said, okay, God, like I really need a sign. If you know, if you're real and if I can get healed, give me a sign because I'm pretty much at the end of this 14-year depression period. I'm over it. And yeah, hope, you know, anyway. So that happened. And then I sat up in my bed and I was like, I remember my prayer and I was like, oh, maybe this is a sign. And so I got out of bed and walked out, you know, into the backyard in my undies and looked up at the sky. And I'm like, is this a sign? And like nothing happened. I was like, just looking at the stars, all I heard was crickets. I was like, okay, maybe that's a sign. And so I went back inside and went to bed, but because the noise was so loud, I just thought maybe it woke up other people in the house because I had my sister-in-law there, I had my two older boys there, and I had my wife at the time there, and everyone else was fast asleep. And I was like, wow, why are my ears so ringing and so sore? So I went back into my room, sat in my bed, and I sat in my bed in the dark, but as I looked to the rear of my bedroom, these two lights appeared, one on that side and one on that side of my bedroom, and very bright, fuzzy lights. And I was looking at them for real, awake, and I kind of understood that they were angels, and because the lights definitely weren't on, there was no lights in those areas. And as I'm looking at them, these lights started coming towards me, and I started freaking out because I didn't understand what was happening. I just didn't know about this. And so I laid back down in my bed, and they came all the way over to the top of my body, and then they started coming down towards me, and you know, I couldn't stop them, and still didn't understand what was happening. And so I watched them come all the way down, and they kind of just they disappeared into my body, into my chest, and then they were gone. And then I closed my eyes, and as I closed my eyes, I was hit with a direct vision, and the vision was like these two angels were like started pulling this like a demon out of my body, like an actual carcass. It was a terrible thing to see, but and I could control it was happening to me. And in this closed eye vision, I watched them pull this like kind of brown, terrible thing out of my body. Like it was a body as well, looked like a skeleton with flesh hanging off it. Sorry guys about the horror, but yeah, but it started coming out, and then they pulled it out, and then as it came out of my body, I opened my eyes again, and I saw the angels like disappear up through the roof of my bedroom, and then I could no longer see them, and so then I closed my eyes again, and the vision just hit me again straight away, and there's the angels like flying across, like it looked like the universe. It was just like a starry kind of sky, with this demon. I interpreted that to be a demon, which instantly I interpreted that to be my depression. And they took it out, you know, because for a long time I understood that I was like possessed. That's what I thought. I thought, geez, you know, I'm possessed. And that's another story and another interesting one why I thought that. But yeah, I'll keep it pretty simple. And so they flew out, they were flying across the sky with this demon, and then they got to the edge of this like the earth, it looked like a big cliff, looked like the Great Australian Bight, and they went out and they dropped this demon, and I remember in my vision thinking, well, if this thing hits the rocks and explodes, maybe that's the end of my depression. And they dropped it, and yeah, I just watched this thing hit the rocks below and exploded into like the tiniest dust particles. Not big ones, but tiny little just dust. So
Just
it was completely gone. I couldn't even see it settle on the rocks. It was so minute, every little part of it, that it was gone. And I was like, whoa. And then bang, the angels did a U-turn, chucked a Yui, started coming back, and then all of a sudden they appeared back in my bedroom. And they came over me again and hovered over me. And they came all the way, I was sitting up then, and they came all the way to the top of my crown. And they kind of sort of disappeared again. But when that happened, at that moment, I had this feeling come into my crown, which I probably know now as my crown chakra, and like started dripping through my whole body. And the only way I've ever been able to explain that, and no, I probably won't understand it, is it felt like an orgasm, and which is like a whole body bliss experience, really. But in even better than that, though, like in the biggest way. And obviously, I'd experienced that then because I had children. But it sunk through my whole body, like from my head. And I closed my eyes because it felt so amazing. And it went through my whole body, every part of it, through to my fingers, all the way down through my tummy, my hips, my legs, all the way down to my toes. And it might have taken about 10 minutes for all this, I'm not sure. When I first woke up, it was 2 o'clock. And I'm just saying that for a reason, which I'll explain a bit in a minute. And so that whole feeling went through my body. And then after that finished and I opened my eyes, that's when Jesus appeared to me for the first time in my life at the end of my bed. And I
He
couldn't believe
likes the ends of beds, apparently.
it. Maybe that's when we're in that particular zone or space to receive. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of this stuff I can't explain. I can some of it now, but a lot of I still can't. A lot of it. But anyway, sure enough, yeah, there he was. He appeared, and I was looking at him as a bit like a hologram, like you said too. Like I could see through him. The cupboard was behind him, but he was there. He was, and I was didn't believe what I was seeing, and he just said these words. He said, "You will touch people and make them feel good," and then I was like, "What?" You know, I kind of did that. I was like, "What?" And then he just disappeared. Like, and I was like, no, like, more words, like, give me more stuff. And yeah, he just disappeared. And then I was just looking at the cupboard again, and I was like, whoa, like, what's going on? And I just sat in bed for a little bit longer, and then, there was no more angels. I kind of felt amazing, but wasn't sure. Jesus disappeared. And at the time, I was writing a book, so I was really in my writing mode. And I thought, I better go and write all this down. So I went to the room next door to our bedroom where I had my desk set up, and I wildly just wrote everything down for about probably 30 minutes. I wrote like 7 or 8 foolscap pages of every single detail because I did not want it to disappear. And then I went back into my room, and I remember looking at my clock, and it was 4 a.m. So the reason I told you before, the time I woke up was 2, and then the time when I looked was 4, is because all that took 2 hours. It's taken 10 minutes now to explain it, but it was like a really kind of long, drawn out experience, of which there was no time anyway. Like, I didn't even realize about the time thing. I was in some other dimension. Yeah, it was 4 o'clock, and I knew I had my alarm set for 6 o'clock because I was getting up every morning at 6 o'clock to go surfing, because I understood that surfing and got me the no mind state, and I wasn't in the depression state. And every morning I was like, this could be the morning where I go surfing and I actually feel good for the rest of the day. But it never happened. But still, I had faith and I went surfing every morning. So anyway, I went back to sleep, and my alarm went off at 6 o'clock the next morning. And I woke up and I turned my alarm off. Didn't have a phone at that stage. It was one of those, big brown, rectangle.
You've got your Jesus alarm now.
Yeah, I got the Jesus alarm that I used this morning. It actually worked. Thanks for the tip. I turned the alarm off, and I thought back to what happened overnight, and I was like, was that real? Like, what happened? And I quickly ran next door into the room that had the desk set up, and sure enough, there's with all the pages of the evidence of everything. And I started reading it. I read a bit at the start, and then I read a bit at the middle and a bit at the end, and I was like, whoa, this really happened. And then I walked back into the room, and I just opened the blinds up a little bit to look outside to check the wind to see what would be doing for the surf. And in that moment, when I opened the blinds up and I saw like this tree that used to come across the window and the blue sky, I'm getting so many goosebumps right now in my whole body, because the feeling was like a feeling I felt like I'd never experienced that feeling in my whole life, because it had been 14 years of depression and darkness and hearing voices and the devil and everything. And I just remember the feeling, and I was like, whoa, this looks so beautiful today. And I quickly like disappeared, and went for my surf before everyone woke up in the house. But I remember driving to the beach, like just down to the alley at North Cronulla where I used to surf, where I grew up surfing. And I went and I had my surf, and it was like sunny and beautiful, and it just kept remaining sunny and beautiful, and I couldn't believe it. And then I went home, and I remember sitting there eating some Weet-Bix, just thinking, wow, I feel like good. I still feel good. Is this how good feels? And anyway, that was my life-changing experience, because since that day until now, I've never had depression, and that happened overnight. So I had a supernatural healing, and it actually happened to me. And that was when I was like, whoa, angels are real. Jesus, this is real. His whole other realm is real, and I experienced it. The fact that it took 14 years for that to happen, I can't explain. And the fact that it happened to me, I can't explain, but I'm so forever grateful for every single day of my life. Everything else is a bonus after that, every little thing, anything. But yeah, it's that's what happened to me, and what got me like sort of I guess, into a whole different understanding of like Jesus and of like religion as well, because I wasn't a perfect person. I was a sinner, and but the fact that that could still happen to someone even like me and for what I'd done in my life and what I've been through was just like amazing. And it also, after that, I started sort of questioning manifestation and prayer as well, and what I understand
Prayer.
about those two things, you know.
Yeah, I this story is gonna change things for a lot of people. Change their idea of what can happen with energy. The power of prayer is incredible, like, and that connection that you've got to Jesus, like, we've had many conversations about it. And hearing this story, angels are warriors. You know, people think angels are really light and fluffy. No, they are absolute warriors in regards to those that are needing help or assistance, or you know, are struggling with something. Time and time again, I'm shown just how much love and support that we have on the other side, or on this side, or within us. And I really want to say thank you for sharing this, because I know it's huge. It's huge, and it turns a lot of things on its head when people are like, after so many years of struggling with the darkness, like, you know, I know for me, with depression, it was a combination of that God energy, Jesus, the sun, like sunrise. I could have been, you know, a native for many years ago with my sun worshipping, because I believe that the sun was healing me
Wow.
from my depression. And so,
I have depression.
huh?
I didn't know that you had depression.
Yeah, but it was more after, it was like postnatal.
Oh yeah, no, you think you have shared that with me. Yeah.
So this energy of Jesus, like, and the healing capability, and the insight, and the fun, and the joy, like, to have that energy come back to you. You do see the day like it's the first time you're ever seeing blue sky. You know, you do see every movement of every leaf on every tree. You do see the way the sunlight sparkles on the water, you know, the little stars of the sea. You know, you see them. You see the color in someone's cheeks. You notice the beauty in everything around you. And it's like you feel like you've missed out on so much, because you've been walking around with a blindfold in, with this darkness within that draws all of your attention and energy within. And it's almost like this sunburst of light comes out of you when you're out of it, and it's like all of a sudden you can open up to everything that's in the world. How do you feel sharing it?
Yeah, look, I didn't share it for a long time because not because I didn't understand it, probably because I thought I'd be seen as like a freak and like I didn't think anyone would believe it. And it is hard to believe, I think, if you haven't had any experiences, but it doesn't really matter to me now. Like I love sharing that story. I don't share it with everybody because it's takes energy to share it, and if I feel like it's a bit of wasted energy, I won't share it, but I know when it's
I
time.
can tell you've just shared it with everybody.
Yeah, I know. And I'm fine with it. Everybody listens. But yeah, and I'm fine with it because I think it happened for a reason. It didn't happen just for me because because I picked you, James, especially for this. This is like for everybody, and I think the more people that hear it, the better, because everything has different effects on different people. And I know even from a painting, when I do one, every single person will say something different, of how it affects them. And I know this story will, touch people in lots of different ways, and I hope it's all in positive ways. And I'm happy to talk about it more if anyone wants to, like send any messages or start a conversation or whatever. Reach out to me for sure, because there's lots of different parts within that that can be broken down. I've learned a lot since then as well, and Jesus has come to me a couple more times since then in really huge ways as well, which I'm super grateful for.
And I agree. I think it's just an I it's like literally the tip of the iceberg. This was just the instigating point. And so this can open up a huge conversation in other people's experiences. Like if you want to share with us your experiences, and it could be something so life-changing, it could be something simple. It could be just a conversation or a feeling of that energy. There was something that I wrote the other day that is that they're asking me to share too. So I just want to find that. But James, what are we going to talk about next week?
What about Jesus? No, I'd love to. There's a couple of things I'd love to touch on a bit more, which I think will come in the next week, like as we sit with this stuff and meditate on that, because that'll be the final one in this three-part series. But I do feel like something's come up for me now that I'd love to share. Now that people have heard that story, and I'd love to share another experience next week. And I'd also love to really channel, that like in real time. I've had that in small doses with you, but I know that you do it quite a lot, and I haven't sat, in any of your longer sessions. I mean, when we did the divine, I was able to sit with you when you were channeling, and it looked like you were dancing. Your arms were kind of moving, and so I'd love to experience that energy, Jesus' energy, in the next session, so everyone else can experience that. I think that'd be.
This is like okay, thank you. All right, so the message that what after what we were speaking of, it's just that the power of prayer or the power of love lies within you. No matter how you see it, if Jesus does not feel like the gateway or the access point for you, it is more about what is it that you feel most connected to? Where is it that you feel most yourself? Where is it that you feel the safest? So it's like that three breaths between you and consciousness. Maybe you feel more comfortable calling it consciousness. Maybe you feel more comfortable in nature. It's like that, whatever you deem as your higher power. That's what this conversation is meant to open. We're using the energy of Jesus or connecting to the energy of Jesus, but it's like it's all one and the same. There is nothing within you. There is nothing that you're missing that is any different to James, to me, to anyone else, to Noah, to anyone else, right? There is nothing. If you feel like there is something missing, if you feel like there is something that you have that somebody else doesn't, we are all one and the same. It's just how our connection presents. So, yeah, I'm more than open to keep this conversation going, or if people are interested, or reach out to us. I know the last one, both James and I got feedback, and I think for sure this one we're going to get more.
Love getting the feedback, and I like what you're saying too, and because I got a few messages as well about Christianity and stuff like that, and I just want to say as well, like whenever I talk about Jesus, it's not to try and like convert people, to Jesus. It's just like my experience, and it's my energetic connection. And I also have an energetic connection with Paramahansa Yogananda, who's, Hindu, and hasn't been as powerful as what it has been with Jesus. But I think because I grew up in a Catholic school and all that, I've been educated into that paradigm a lot more for a lot longer, and I naturally connect with it, yeah, but I embrace all other, spiritualities as well, Well, not all of them, but yeah, I mean, I do believe that they're all pretty much bringing the same message for sure. Religions, that is. But
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, the message is that of love. It's not of follow this or connect to this. The message is just simply love. So if you're wanting to experience more love in your life or even just love, full stop, like close your eyes and take deep breaths and call in the energy of love and see what happens. So yeah. Is there anything else? Yeah, next week or next episode, it's like engines are getting revved up to channel. So this is where we can play. Like James and I both have many stories about this energy and working with this energy for ourselves and for others. And next week we're going to show you what that looks like. Oh. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to do long form channeling. This is like, so you know what? Between now and the next episode, if you have questions that you want answered, if you like, send us some questions and I'll get James to ask questions and then we can have that answer come through for you. So think of this as like a Q&A of Jesus. If you have questions that you want to ask Jesus, send them to James or I. By all of our contact details that you guys are connected to us with, or by any means that are listed below in the podcast. And we'll pick questions to ask of Jesus.
Yeah.
Told that right now, so
Yeah.
okay. Get your questions ready for the next session.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks everyone for listening and tuning in, and thanks Nicole so much for organizing this podcast. I'm so stoked to share on this and have these conversations with you and with everyone else that's listening. And Noah, we're going to go and have some Weet-Bix, get ready for school. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. And yeah, we'll have to listen next time. Send your questions in. If you are interested in working directly with James or I, our contact details are below as well. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And we're so excited to bring you next week with our third session of the Deep with Jesus. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And yeah, we'll see you then.
Peace and blessings.
Bye.